Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Our area is in for a treat when singer-songwriter Mary Gaucher comes to the Egg in Albany on March 27th, part of a spring tour behind her latest album, Trouble in Love. She's seen plenty of both. An orphan and teenage runaway, former addict and alcoholic, Gaucher, spelled G-A-U-T-H-I-E-R, got a late start as a musician. She didn't write her first song until her mid-30s, but is now one of our most critically beloved artists. Her unique background has translated into some 10 albums. Her latest features 8 songs recorded in Nashville, where she now lives.
I lived in Kansas, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Boston, Nashville. 5.
And you like Nashville so far?
I'm not going anywhere. I'm home now. This city suits me so perfectly. I love being around all these songwriters, and I love being in a place where being a songwriter is met with respect and, in some ways, adulation. Like when you're a songwriter here, people go, "Oh my God, wow!" You know, even though there's so many of us, it's a good job. And in most cities, you say you're a songwriter, and they think you're sort of a homeless bum.
Do you ever find it competitive?
With my friends, no. Mm-hmm. No, we celebrate each other's victories. I mean, there's a little bit of like, "Oh my God, I should have written that," but then you go, "Good job," you know. I think the competition among my circle is internal. It's like when somebody raises the bar, you go, "Okay, all right, you want to do it like that?" Okay, all right, I'm getting to work. There's an awful lot of celebrating each other's victories around here because it's so hard. It's so hard.
What's hard about it?
What's hard is to get a song that resonates universally about the human condition, that's simple enough for everyone to understand, and that's done in a way that's not been done before.
For you, how do you actually accomplish that? I mean, do you have to, you know, make a time in the day to sit down and write, or is it when you have an idea that you do it?
Well, I'm not that kind of writer. I don't do the schedule myself because I'll just immediately disobey the rule that I make for myself. That's it's not my nature. You know, you say left, I'm going to be immediately looking to the right. So I do it when I don't know. I don't have rules about it. I write when I write. Songs come when they come. And I never really know when that. I mean, it could be on an airplane, it could be in a hotel room, or it could be in my writing room for 2 weeks at a time, getting up at 6 a.m. But it's definitely not scheduled.
Does it start with instrumentation or lyrics?
For me, it comes together. They go hand in hand always for me. They are united and forever together. If I have a couple of words, I'm gonna mess around on the guitar to try to find the music that sounds like what those words mean, and I'm gonna try to expand that from there musically at the same time as lyrically. Because if I get too far with the lyric and I don't have the music, then I'm creating a box that I can't get out of. I'm not real good at writing music to existing lyrics. You know, like if somebody sends me lyrics and says, "Can you put music to it?" The answer is always no. I'm not that kind of writer. So I got to do it hand in hand.
You know, I think the power in a lot of your songs is how, and I don't mean this as a pejorative, but how simple they are in some ways. Is it hard to sound that simple and that easy?
You know, that's what I was getting at earlier. Yes, it's hard to sound that is the challenge. You know, when asked about songwriting, to give advice about songwriting, Johnny Cash always said, write simple. The simple ones are the most difficult. You know, Hank Williams made it look easy, but it's very difficult to write a universal human truth in a simple way that resonates with everyone, and have it ring universally true in a way that hasn't been done before. It's very, very hard. Simple is the most difficult way to write.
Between Cain and Abel, that's where we live. It's only human, take more than you give. To reach for a fix to fill you up, take away the pain. Oh, but that's not love.
People who are familiar with your background will know that you were a relatively late bloomer in music, and I'm wondering what it was that brought you to get into songwriting in the first place. I think you were like in your mid-30s when you started.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I got sober. I'm a trained chef, and I owned a couple of restaurants in Boston with the help of some investors. I had a little thing going in Boston, and I got arrested for drunk driving in July of 1990, opening night of my second restaurant, and then I got sober. That was my last drink as of today. I haven't felt it necessary to drink again, and so no drugs, no alcohol, which cleared this channel in my brain that has never been cleared before, and songs started coming to me and through me. And I'm still carried away with it. I don't see that I'm ever gonna stop. This is so much a part of me that I walked away from the restaurants. I walked away from everything else I was up to, and I'm still passionately in love with songwriting. It's been a tremendous journey, and I feel as though even though I'm older than most in the traditional arc, I feel like I'm just getting started.
How did you know where to begin? I mean, were you a singer in the shower beforehand? Did you know chords on the guitar? Like, how did you start?
Well, I knew chords, and I kind of strummed a bit. But what was so important for my journey is that my restaurant was right next door to Berklee College of Music in Boston. Mm. And so the people who ate there, the people who worked there, the people who hung out there were all in some way related to the music. And also next to Symphony Hall. So Symphony Hall across the street, Berklee on the right. And it was Music Central. So, you know, I had a musician waiting tables for me, a songwriter, and she said, "Hey, I'm playing this open mic at Club Passim in Harvard Square. You want to come see me play?" And I didn't even know what an open mic was. But when I went to see her play, I immediately knew that I had to come up with something and do this myself. So I started, you know, writing. I had always written like, you know, journals and poems and stuff, and I wanted to be able to write songs, but I just wasn't. It takes a tremendous focus, and I didn't have the discipline for that until I got sober. And so I started working on songs and brought them to the open mic, and the next thing you know, it's all I want to do. And, you know, about 10 years after that first open mic, I moved to Nashville.
What was your goal for your music career, as it were, when you started? I mean, did you think that you would end up where you are now?
No, I didn't. I wasn't that audacious. I wouldn't have ever imagined me up on the stage at the Grand Ole Opry over and over again and welcomed into the fold there. You know what I really thought? I looked at the folk singers, the Boston scene, and one of my favorites continues to be this wonderful singer-songwriter named Cheryl Wheeler. And I wanted to sort of model it after her, be able to draw 100 people in every major city in the Western world, and by that 100 people target, I would have a career. And you know what? I was pretty right about that. If you can get 100 people in most cities, you really don't have to have a day job at all. You can live on that. And I've way surpassed that in some cities, and I'm exactly there in other cities. And you know, the great joy for me is that it continues to grow. Every year it gets a little stronger. Because I'm not a pop artist, I don't have hits, so it's not this rapid expansion. It's slow, steady growth, which is sustainable in a lot of ways. It's not dependent on the music industry to keep pumping it up. It happens almost on its own as I continue to make records and reach more people.
For a lot of people, the music comes first, the career comes first, and then they have substance issues. So I'm wondering how you have kept your sobriety all along as you've, you know, charted a new path for yourself and started a new career.
Yeah, you know, it's backwards, isn't it? Most musicians end up in rehab after, you know, after a while on the road, or end up with restaurants or something after a while. Well, I had to, you know, I did it the other way. I started with restaurants and a damn big problem with alcohol and drugs, and ended up sober and on the road, which I think is actually a very good strategy. In retrospect, I would suggest doing it in that order. But I would also tell you that's tongue-in-cheek. Nobody should have to go through the hell of addiction if you can avoid it. But for me, I hang around people that don't abuse substances. I know a lot of sober artists, songwriters, musicians. You know, I don't hang out after the show. I go back to the hotel and I go to bed. I live a clean life. I do yoga. I have support systems. You know, I'm older. I'm 53 now. It's just the most natural thing in the world for me to travel healthy. I try to stay healthy out there and do things that are constructive and not destructive.
I want to ask you about your latest album, Trouble and Love. I think people who are familiar with your music will know that you've had a bit of both.
No doubt.
Which is winning out at the moment?
Love. Yeah, absolutely. But not the romantic type. I haven't been in a relationship in a little over 3 years. And I've got more love in my life right now than I've ever had. I think I'm finding family and tribe, and I'm resonating with groups of people that are like me. You know, I assume I'll find a partner out there one day, or not. I hope to, but it's not the most important thing in the world to me anymore. I get that that there's a lot more to life than that, and love is a big old word, and there's a lot of places that we can find it. The emphasis on romantic love in certainly in my brain was destructive, and so I've had to expand it, my understanding of love, and I've grown because of it. And it's been a hard road, but a beautiful road. And I'm so glad to be able to sincerely say that love is winning.
Along those lines is the song How You Learn to Live Alone from this album. Is that about yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say so. But it's also about the condition. It's personal, but if I did my job, it's universal.
When they hit the ground, they're nothing but stone. That's how you learn to live alone. It's how you learn to live.
I teach songwriting quite a bit, and I teach my students that the slightly personal is journal reading and boring. Nobody cares about that. You know, if you're serious about songwriting, then you've got to go into the deeply personal, because the deeply personal is where we resonate, and it's back to the universal that we talked about earlier. So it's about me, but I bet it's about you too. And I bet it's about anybody who has gone through a loss and had to learn how to be with themselves and live alone. And so, personal and universal collide. The universe is inside of all of us if you go deep enough.
Well, Mary Gaucher will be at the Egg in Albany on March 27th. Her latest album is Trouble and Love, and it's just great. It has been such a pleasure to have you on the roundtable. Thank you for your time, and keep writing the songs.
My great joy. Thanks for making time for me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I hated high school. I prayed it would end. Jocks and their girls, it was their world, I didn't fit in. Mama said, baby, it's the best school money can buy. Be strong, hold your head up. Come on, Mary, try. I stole Mama's car on a Sunday. I left home for good. I moved in with some friends in the city, in a bad neighborhood. Charles was a dancer. He loved the ballet. Sold pot and red Kerouac and Hemingway. Drag queens and limousines, nuns and blue jeans, dreamers with big dreams. They all took me. Charlie and I flip burgers to cover the rent. And bourbons at happy hour for 35 cents. One day before work, we got drunk and we danced in the rain. They fired us both, said, don't y'all come back again. Yeah, but drag queens and limousines, nuns and blue jeans, dreamers with big dreams, they all. He's never quit nothing. He wanted remind me to graduate. My brother and sister both play in the marching band. They tell me they miss me, but I know they don't understand. Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. Pray that the people you love will catch up with you. Yeah, drag queens and limousines, nuns and blue jeans, dreamers with big dreams.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.